You're listening to an original Kimco podcast on blog.kimcorealty.com. Hello, everyone. I am Janelle Kazira, a member of Kimco Realty's blogging team. And today we have with us Chris Thompson, who is the owner of a very unique consignment store in a Kimco shopping center. She is located at the King's Contrivance Village Center in Columbia, Maryland. And the name of Chris's store is Ballywalu. And she is about to tell us the meaning of this term, because it's a very unique name and there's a very unique concept behind it. So, Chris, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me. So Ballywalu is a concept as well as it has a definition behind it. So I came up with the name because I wanted the idea of something that was very ethnic, very global, that seemed like it belonged to anybody in the world, yet we couldn't pinpoint a place in the world where it came from. And the actual name originated from a book by Dr. Seuss called I Had Trouble Getting to Sala Salu. And the story is this creature who decides to leave his place of residence to go live in Sala Salu because his life is going to be so much better in Sala Salu. And, of course, he goes through all these trials and tribulations and gets to Sala Salu and realizes that his life is no better there, that it doesn't matter where you live, it is who you are. So the concept, the idea of, as women, because Ballywalu is a store for women, that we go through this journey through life, and we can accept ourselves at each and every stage of that was really important to me. And so I had this name, Sala Salu, and I played with consonants until I got to Ballywalu. The definition of the word itself is to dress or adorn yourself as a mode of self-expression. A lot of consignment shops these days are looking for what's trendiest. So they're looking for clothing that has been seen in the stores and the malls in the past 2 years. That is not what I'm looking for. I have those items too, don't get me wrong, you know. But I love getting the quirky items. I love it that several of my consigners travel to Europe and bring me items that you just haven't seen before, that somebody's going to come in and they're going to be the only one in Colombia wearing that item. Because what fashion dictates is that we present ourselves in a certain way, according to a certain box. And I think that as women, the more we get out of that box and be true to ourselves, the better off we'll be in our journeys.
So at what point did you realize that you want to put a store behind this concept?
You know, that is such an interesting question, because I get asked all the time, you know, was this always your dream? Is this something you wanted to do? No, you know, this was something that was put in my life by God. I'm a very spiritual person. I had a friend who a couple of years back suggested the store to me. I was going through a phase of my life where I was ready for some transitions. I was ready for some big changes. And I just kind of went with the flow. It was never a dream. I've never been a fashion person. My friend used to tell me that she was going to sign me up for what not to wear, because all I ever wore was shades of gray, the gray T-shirt with the gray sweat, yoga pants with the gray sneakers. So it was never, I never thought of being in fashion and opening up a store at all. It was really just a series of events where a friend of mine had contacted several of us that were in a playgroup together, suggested it to us, and two of us went on board with her. And at the end, the two friends decided not to go through with it, and I decided to go ahead. And it was very much, I mean, we did research for almost 2 years before we opened, but it was in June of 2011 that I decided to go ahead, and in September I opened my doors. So it was really, it was a huge step of faith that this is where I belonged and that this was what I was going to try to do at that point in my life.
And then on the other side of the equation, there's also the reality of the business equation, where you also need to select a good location for all of this. So what kind of went into that decision, and how did you pick the King's Contrivance Village Center as the right location for you?
Absolutely. And, you know, the business end of it has been a huge learning curve for me. The location is fabulous. I love that Village Center. I have CVS next door where people can drop off a prescription and then come shop for half an hour while they wait for it. There's all the restaurants. There are, you know, offices upstairs where people come, drop off a family member to go get, you know, for a dental appointment or something and come down and shop while they're waiting, or who go for their own dental appointment. You know, I have the visitors who come every 6 months. I have my weekly visitors, too, but, you know, who have a variety of different engagements in the Village Center. The foot traffic is fabulous. It's funny because my attempts at marketing, whether they be print, online, have not been that great at getting people into the store, but word of mouth and foot traffic have really been what has made my client base as large as it is today. So it really is a great little center. And, you know, it's got the little fountain in the center with the tables. So people come, and in the summertime we have live music. So it really is a place where people like to come and congregate.
So let's talk a little bit more about what your customers are finding when they come to Baliwalu. Because you mentioned before it's off the beaten path fashion. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. They're going to find the traditional stuff, too. Don't get me wrong. You know, I have a lot of Ann Taylor, a lot of Chico's. Those are things that women like, that, you know, they're brands and styles that people have come to rely upon. I have Coach purses, Dooney and Burke. So, again, things that people seek out. But then I also have, like I said, a lot of items from Europe. I have a lot of Zara. I bring in, you know, unique items, jackets from England, Irish sweaters. Every winter I make sure I have some knit Irish sweaters. Those bring people in. I have my tacky Christmas sweaters, too. So plenty of those in stock for the Christmas parties. I carry quite a bit of jewelry, and that's actually, my jewelry comes from three different sources. I have jewelry that's made by local artisans, and they all have different styles, all the way from 19-year-old Rachel, a student at Howard Community College, who does a lot of steampunk and a lot of really creative, I mean, she makes her own beads out of clay and, you know, just really fantastic things, all the way to retired Louise, who is a home health aide, and makes things with really high-quality stone. I also carry fair trade items. Now, fair trade, a lot of people aren't familiar with it, is an organization, is a fair trade federation that organizes, connects artisans in third-world countries with buyers in first-world countries with all the middlemen in the middle, you know, in between, so that the artisans get paid fair wages and are able to have a home, send their kids to school, their kids can go to school with socks. I mean, you know, just they're really able to have a lifestyle that they would not otherwise be able to have when they're being paid pennies. And then the third source of jewelry is China. So I do have some of those items that are very popular, and those tend to be the ones that are the trendy jewelry. You're able to mix it with your own different, you know, put together with your own outfits, and be able to create your own look.
Is there anything in particular that you're looking for right now to offer in your store, maybe in preparation for the fall or back to school or anything along those lines?
You know, right now we're actually not accepting anything on consignment. We're getting ready for summer clearance, and then we'll start with the fall in a few weeks. For the fall, we're going to be getting, you know, the usual, the denim, the jeans. You know, people always come in looking for jeans, for little jackets. Blouses, tops are what sells best at Baliwalu. We do keep up with what's going on, with what's expected in the fashion industry in the fall. But really, consignment is such a hodgepodge. It's almost like Christmas morning for me when people come bring things in. You never know what you're going to find, you know, and what's going to be interesting. I have people who bring in, I mean, I had the summer, this fantastic vintage dress from the 1950s. And you know when they're vintage, when they're marked a size 10 and they look like they could barely fit a size 4. But with embroidered jewelry and embroidered jewels, just like what you were seeing in the magazines, what you were seeing in the stores, except that this is the real thing. Looked like something Jackie O would have worn. So those are the unique pieces that are always surprising them when they come in. So is there something I'm really looking for? Never, really. And, you know, I get asked this all the time, like, oh, you know, they'll watch the show on Bravo and say, oh, I was watching the show about consignment shops. Is that what it's like to run one? And not at all. It's not, oh, we must have this piece in the store or that other piece. You know, it's so exciting to have that, and I'm going to seek that out. I'm looking to please my customers. I'm all about customer service. I want them to come in and be excited and see things that they're going to like. So when people bring things in, I'm examining those items with that in mind.
So, Chris, you've been open for almost 2 years now. So looking back over those 2 years, what do you think has kept you going from an entrepreneurial perspective?
What has kept me going? I think, you know, my customers, it's been really, I say all the time, it takes a village. And I've said even to, you know, my customer base, my email base, that it takes a village to raise a boutique. I think that I've maintained really open communication with my customers. I believe in fantastic customer service. You know, if somebody comes in and a piece of jewelry has broken, we will either repair it, give them another one, or give them a refund, whichever option they choose. You know, we apologize for our mistakes, and we go above and beyond to do what we can for the customer. And my customers respond to that, and they'll let me know. My customer, I think I have a really good open relationship with them. They come in, and they know that they can tell me how they feel if there's something they don't like. I say all the time that one day I'll be on the cover of Forbes magazine having a conversation about how you can have a business with a conscience. That, you know, not just in terms of, you know, and I'm talking about the fair trade conscience, so I have that too, but the idea that these are people who are electing to be in my store to spend their money with me rather than other places. And part of it is that, yeah, some of the deals I'm offering are much better than what you can find in other stores, you know. Yes, you can go buy a piece of jewelry in a different store for $5 that I might be charging $15 for, but chances are the $5 one is going to break and mine isn't. Or if mine does, I'll fix it for you. But again, it's that idea of, you know, I learn as many names as I can, and I know people's stories, people know my story, and it's a relationship. It really is a relationship that I've forged with people. It's so counterintuitive, because I think that what we learn in business is that, you know, it's number crunching. And the number crunching does occur. I mean, I obviously keep a very close eye on that. I've worked at becoming more efficient in what I do. I mean, when I compare myself to 2 years ago, and I think, okay, it's a good thing that I'm writing a handbook now on how to do this, and not 2 years ago, because I've learned so much as to how to produce more, to get more items on my sales floor. And I get that all the time. I get people who come in and say, wow, I was here 2 years ago, and it's so different. It is. I've increased, between merchandising and just increasing the use of my space, because it's a tiny, tiny store. It's got to be the smallest space Kimco has anywhere in the country, I think, my little shop. But, you know, so making a better use of that. So I've done quite a bit of different things to try to increase revenue. But I think that the bottom line is I've developed that relationship, and that relationship keeps people coming back. We're in a place, I think, in history now, where, yes, the giants are out there, and people are still, of course, going to continue shopping at Walmart and shopping at the mall and looking for things like that, but they're much more conscientious of how they spend their money. They might think twice before going out and buying a brand new Dooney & Burke purse, knowing they can get one in just as good condition at a consignment shop for half the price or a third of the price. So as long as I maintain that relationship with the people who I serve, I think that from an entrepreneurial perspective, the business will grow.
Great, Chris. That was really great talking with you. And thank you so much for sharing your business story with us. Really interesting.
Thank you.
And we wish you continued success there in Columbia, Maryland.
Thank you so much.
You've just listened to an original Kimco podcast on blog.kimcorealty.com.